And welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'm speaking with Charles Schmitz, who is the president of the American Institute of Yemeni Studies. He is a professor of geography at Towson University and has researched and written extensively on Yemen and its relationship with other nations on the Arabian Peninsula and with the United States. Thank you so much for joining us on Background Briefing, Charles Schmitz.
You're welcome. It's glad to be here.
And clearly, these young protesters in Yemen, they squared off against the security forces on Sunday, and some of them marched on the presidential palace in Sana'a. This represents the third day of demonstrations, and I think fairly clearly they're emulating their brethren in Egypt, but in considerably fewer numbers, right?
Yeah, no, it's not nearly as large as in Egypt, no.
But they are using text messages and other social media to organize, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I saw a protester with a sign for Facebook, but I wouldn't say that is the most important or nearly as important maybe as in Egypt. I don't know how important it really was in Egypt. In Yemen, the demonstrations are really being organized by the opposition. There is some spontaneous demonstration going on, but most of it is being driven by the legal political opposition in Yemen.
So there have been reports, though, that the young people demonstrating here are in the way that in Egypt the opposition, for what it was pretty much sidelined. And you're saying no, that the opposition is not being sidelined here.
No, the opposition is playing a key role. There is some rejection of politics as normal. There are in the South, in particular, there were a couple of people who burned effigies of all the large the main political actors in Yemen, calling them all dinosaurs, and saying that the only person that has legitimacy in the Arab world is the guy in Tunisia who burned himself. But largely the events in Yemen are being channeled through the opposition. The opposition was somewhat sidelined. I mean, the Yemeni opposition has been sidelined since about 2006, when a large-scale rebellion broke out in the south and an armed rebellion broke out in the north. And the Yemeni opposition, having put on a very effective electoral campaign where they got almost a third of the vote, then sort of faded to the background. In fact, these protests have energized the opposition again, and they thus far seem to be doing a pretty good job of rebuilding their forces and organizing. The demonstrations, I think, that we saw in front of the presidential palace, some of the human rights organizations were behind that. And so there is some spontaneousness, but it's being channeled through an existing political opposition in Yemen.
And again, I'm speaking with Charles Schmitz, who's the president of the American Institute of Yemeni Studies. We're talking about the possibility of the contagion of democracy spreading as it has from Tunisia to Egypt and then to Yemen. There are, of course, some analogies. The president has been around as long as Mubarak, three decades. The demonstrators also were in Yemen, were in Tahrir Square, so they have but obviously the scale is incredibly different here. The difference, I suppose, though, is that given that these young Egyptians were up against some of these police thugs and who were armed, I take it that Yemen is a country with a well-armed populace, arguably the kind of NRA's idea of a country.
Yeah. A couple of things. I mean, there is a large-scale demonstration. I'm not sure it's the scale. It's the sort of the context in which the demonstrations are happening are slightly different, I think, in Yemen. Yemen, there is the political security forces. They are thugs, like in Egypt. Maybe not quite as effective. A little bit more random in Yemen than they are in Egypt. They do have those, and in the demonstrations that we're seeing in the main cities, those would be unarmed. People, though Yemenis are well armed, they're aware of the of armed struggle, of armed conflict breaking out, and so they tend to not use arms. The example is the Southern Movement. They've declared that theirs is a peaceful movement for secession, and they've consciously tried to avoid conflicts with the state security apparatus and with the military. So, in that sense, it's somewhat the same as Egypt. But I would say a couple of things. There are similarities. There are similarities in that there's a large youth cohort in Yemen that's frustrated economically. The Yemeni economy is not doing well. And then on top of it, there's kind of an old political guard. And the old political guard over the last, 5 years has really been fighting it out over the question of succession. The president was trying to position his son to become the ruler of Yemen, and within the core of the ruling elite, there was strong opposition to it. And so the last 4 or 5 years, the elite of Yemen have been sort of battling it out amongst themselves at the expense of the entire country, really, allowing open military conflicts, allowing the economy to kind of go to pots. Oil revenues are declining. They haven't done much about it. They're trying to do some stuff now. They haven't done much about it. And they seem to have stopped recently. And then just before all this broke out in Tunisia, the president who is elected in a direct presidential election and whose second term and last term constitutionally will be up in 2013, he put proposals before Parliament saying that he would get rid of those limits. They were merely proposals before Parliament, put on the floor of Parliament. Then the Yemeni opposition walked out of Parliament. It's a minority in Parliament. The ruling party could have put those on the table and discussed them, but it didn't. It didn't have time to. And then when all these demonstrations broke out, the president withdrew the proposals. So he has said that he will not run in 2013. He will not try and amend the Constitution. And significantly, he won't put his son forward. Those are, it's sort of a concession, but he only made those proposals a couple of weeks ago. So it's not that big of a concession.
Well, sure. Charles Schmitz, again, president of the American Institute of Yemeni Studies. There's echoes there. Mubarak with his son, Gamal. Let's talk about America's role and how what kind of influence America has in that country, and whether it's similar to, for example, Afghanistan, where our policy has largely been taken over by the military, and we have these former generals now as diplomats. Who's in charge in terms of the American account, if you will? Because my understanding is, and particularly from the WikiLeaks documents, which indicated that the Saleh, the president, was basically our guy in terms of the military, and that I think those WikiLeaks revelations did hurt President Saleh. But who's running the show there in terms of our side of the coin?
Yeah, I don't know exactly who's running it, but security issues dominate the American agenda in Yemen. And so, even if the White House is running it, it's the security concerns that are the priority. And so the military guys really have the greatest weight in the policies on Yemen. It's not like Egypt, where we support directly the military itself. We mostly support anti-terror, specifically anti-terror units in Yemen. But our economic support is not that big. But we play a very, very important sort of leading role in international relations with Yemen. And so American support, though it's small in monetary terms, politically it's very important for the president. And I would say that we have tremendous influence in the country. I think the key event was Obama blocking the demonstrators in Egypt. I think when he did that, he gave Ali Abdullah Saleh a great scare. The president went before Parliament. He called a joint session of all the legislative branches together and gave a speech in which he renounced his proposals that he had put forward that were going to extend his rule. Following that, he got a call from Obama supporting his move. He did what Obama wanted, and Obama's call was very important for him, I think, politically. The danger that the Americans the emphasis that the Americans put on security is that it alienates much of the Yemeni population, for whom the big issues are sort of true sort of democracy, true sort of political liberalization, and bigger than that, the economy. That's the big one. Yemen is a quite poor country, poorer than Egypt, and right now the economic prospects are very bleak. And so the country really needs smart political leadership to get it through this tough economic time. And at the moment, there's nothing happening. And so there is a lot of tension for change in Yemen. And the Americans focusing on the military is somewhat delegitimizing. The State Department has been trying to move, become more involved in sort of development issues, and USAID has a huge project now that it's trying to put in place in Yemen. But, it's going to be a while before any of that has any effect on the economy. And so for Yemeni eyes, the United States supporting the military stuff, it looks like we've got our eyes on the wrong ball, that we're not interested in Yemenis, we're only interested in al-Qaeda, and that's it.
And we're playing this game of balancing democratic reforms against stability. And you're suggesting, Charles Schmitz, that the stability side dominates as opposed to the kind of Peace Corps side, if you will. And given the analogies with Egypt, the young people, I imagine, have even bleaker employment prospects in Yemen since the main source of income for the country, oil, is supposed to dry up in a decade.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they're facing a very tough economic future. And unlike in the past, the state really has to manage the Yemeni economy. The Yemeni economy has to become much more diversified, and it needs smart, effective management. And the state has basically been resting on oil revenues, and it hasn't built institutional capabilities to sort of manage the country, the economy, collect taxes, these sorts of things. So it's making the situation worse, and people are aware of that. People know that's the case.
So this is a country already beset by a secession movement in the south and a rebellion in the north. We're obsessed with al-Qaeda. It's worth noting that bin Laden's family are Yemenis, right?
A long time ago. They're Saudis.
They're Saudis, but they come from Yemen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the since you've worked there and spent a lot of time there, Charles Schmitz, what's your sense of bin Laden's appeal? Because we seem to be focused on this radical U.S.-born cleric, Anwar al-Awlaki.
Yeah. My impression is that Yemenis are much more focused on political reform and economic development. The only place where you really see support, and it's not really support, it's rather defense of civil rights. In other words, what Yemenis are concerned about is that they're very concerned that the Americans are going to do things which are not in the interest of civil rights, that they will, for example, condone targeted killings and extrajudicial holding of people simply in the name of the fight against al-Qaeda. They're very concerned about that. For example, when the two packages that were found on the airplanes that came from Yemen, when the security picked up the woman whose card had been used to mail those things, there were protests, and the protests were saying, judicial due process. That they were worried that she would be tortured or she would be, held without due process, without a lawyer, et cetera, simply because the Americans wanted it. And this is the concern. This is where you will see them not defending al-Qaeda, but worried about what sort of support the United States is going to give to the regime, whether it's going to support, autocratic measures, repressive measures, simply in the name of fighting al-Qaeda.
So just in the last minute or so, Charles Schmitz, what's your sense of whether this idea of these dominoes is overstated? I mean, we've got clearly analogies with this regime, which we... excuse me, which we've discussed. And sorry, I've got a terrible cold, but the we've discussed these analogies with the Mubarak and Salah and the Sun and Tahrir Square and the young people demonstrating. And there are also, you know, similarities between the Syrian regime and the Egyptian regime. There are similarities with Gaddafi's regime, military dictatorship in effect, which is what Egypt is now and always has been, at least since the colonial times. So in that kind of broader context, where would you place Yemen as a potential domino if the contagion of democracy spread throughout the Middle East?
Well, there's no doubt that Ali Abdullah Saleh is weak and that there is a potential for him to go. I would say that a more likely scenario now, though, is that that the opposition will reconvene in parliament. It will be greatly strengthened. That it will be able to hold parliamentary elections, which have been held up because of political infighting, probably in the fall. And that in 2013 we may see a very real electoral campaign for the next leadership of Yemen. That very much may be the case. In other words, we might see in Yemen a true transition, not one where the autocratic leaves, but actually one where it steps down and there's elections for future leadership. That would actually be quite wide open, because Yemen is quite fractured in its politics. And there may be a very different coalition coming to power in 2013. That would be a good scenario.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Charles Schmitz.
You're welcome.
Again, I was speaking with Charles Schmitz, who's the president of the American Institute for Yemeni Studies. Dr. Schmitz is a professor of geography at Towson University and has researched and written extensively on Yemen and its relationship with other countries on the Arabian Peninsula as well as the United States. Let's now take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking with NPR's Deborah Amos, who is in Saudi Arabia. She covers the Middle East for National Public Radio and did a very prescient broadcast back in November featuring Egyptian youth using social media to push for political change.